141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scoreboard as we edge towards the start of the new league season. James Forrest is the main man at Celtic tonight as his testimonial takes place against Athletic Bilbao. Rangers gear up for the new campaign with an open training session at Ibrox with some notable absentees, and Motherwell add Theo Bear and Liam Donnelly returns to Kilmarnock as the transfer wheel continues to turn. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Two things should happen at Celtic Park tonight, Gordon. One is that James Forrest should get a standing ovation from tens of thousands of Celtic supporters after all he has done for the club. 23 trophies won in his 13 first team years there, and only two off equaling the Lisbon Lion, Bobby Lennox. And the second thing that should happen, there should be a civilised welcome back to Brendan Rodgers, his first game at Celtic Park as manager since leaving for Leicester 4 years ago.
This is supposed to be the formal, official part of the show. Speaking of formal, we'll get to that in a minute, where I tell everyone the phone number and how they can get in touch. So I'll do that, 01419511025. But it is an exciting new time for Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can watch as well as listen. And my goodness, Hugh Keevans has not disappointed Mark Wilson. For the people who are listening, for the old school amongst us, yes, would you care to describe your attire this evening?
I am wearing, quite simply, a tuxedo, a dress shirt, and a bow tie. And I do this for two reasons. I pay
Because you always dress like that.
Well, on special occasions, I pay homage to the cultural phenomenon that is Super Scoreboard, now streaming live, whatever that means, Mark. And I also dress in this fashion to pay tribute, visually, for the first time, to Tony Bennett, a man who knew his way around a tuxedo.
We cannot open the show chatting about Tony Bennett. But I'm not surprised to see Hugh in such attire. I mean, he's going into his fifth decade on this show, into a new
era.
Is that all it is?
I'm
surprised. But hold on, we cannot start the show without addressing the elephant in the room.
Or the elephant that's not in the room.
Or the one that's absent
Where
from the room.
He?
Where is Gordon Dale? Where is my partner in crime? Pre-match nerves, maybe, at the big show?
Listen, who am I to speculate? I spoke to him last night. He was fine, and he's sick. I mean, we should wish him well, but we don't really do that. We don't do sympathy for the fellow pundits.
Last I
spoke to him, he said he was going to get a sunbed for tonight because he was wanting to look his best. So I don't know if they've retubed and burnt his nose, or I don't know, something drastic has gone on. Well, maybe an outfit, a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, by the way, he was particularly concerned about what he was going to wear when I was chatting to him last week. Mm. But he was concerned about the way he sounded last week as well. Now, he confessed to me he's never listened to himself back, but because this is a new show and visually, he gave a watch and he says, "Surely I don't sound like that." That's what we've been putting up with for years.
All I can say to the Dazzler is, if you're worried about what you are going to wear, follow this big guy.
It's quite sensational.
Anyway, it is a bright new dawn here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, where whilst you're eating your dinner, you can watch us as well as listen. The novelty certainly hasn't worn off. It's only night two, so there's plenty more where this came from. And we will, I'm sure, reference it many times throughout the next couple of days, weeks, months, and who knows until it wears off. But for those of you out there who still just listen along, whether that's a smart device, I'll tell you what that is in a minute. Radio, your Clyde One app, whatever it may be, great to have you listening or tuning in or watching, however you like to join us. We love to have you. 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. So get in touch, let us know what is on your mind. We're on that sort of home straight, if you like, towards the new Scottish Premiership season. Always really like this week because it's all a bit unknown. You're allowed to dream. You can aim big for what your team's going to achieve. You can fear the worst if you're that way inclined. I know we are a very cynical footballing nation, so do whichever you wish. Do get in touch. There is the testimonial tonight, James Forrest, Celtic against Athletic Bilbao. I know there's a big crowd expected, so it would be nice to hear from anyone who is on their way to that one, and I guess what you're expecting. Celtic fans, I'm sure you want to pay tribute to James Forrest. It is the second homecoming for Brendan Rodgers. You might see some debutants. Although it's a friendly and a testimonial, how important is it that you see something like what you're going to witness at the weekend when the Premiership starts? So do let us know on the usual number. Rangers fans, any of you out there away to that open training session today? I'm not sure they would give any secrets or game plans away, but no Fashion Sakala as an example, nowhere to be seen, no Glenn Kamara. What does that suggest about their futures at the clubs, or are we reading too much into it? Motherwell have been signing players, Kilmarnock are getting ready for the weekend, lots happening. So 0141 951 1025. Can't wait for the weekend, Hugh.
Well, magnificent. Starting at 12:30, Celtic Park, Celtic Ross County, and a great gesture by the club because James Forrest will unfurl the league flag won by Ange Postecoglou's team last season. Ordinarily, it would be the club captain, Callum McGregor, but in deference to James and what is taking place this week, he'll be the man on Saturday. And then Celtic have to follow it up by making sure that they get 3 points and then put pressure, if that's an allowable word, on the first day of the season, put pressure on Rangers away to Kilmarnock, because Saturday signals the return of a draw is a disaster, a defeat's a catastrophe.
Well, it's a bit early for that, Hugh, but things will gather quickly. I used to love this time, Gordon, as a player, because the pre-season work was done. You know, pre-season games obviously play a big part in getting you up to fitness, but I think most players are glad to see the back room and glad to see the competitive games return. Now, of course, some of our teams in the league have already faced competitive games in the Viaplay Cup, but for Celtic, for Rangers, particularly for the fans, they've seen enough pre-season stuff. They want the real action to start. And you're right, tonight is an opportunity for Celtic fans to go along and pay tribute to a magnificent servant, a magnificent player for the club, but also see what Brendan Rodgers is bringing to the club this second time round, and hoping that it looks good for Saturday's game.
It's a tough one, this, isn't it? Because it is a testimonial. It's a famously relaxed footballing environment. I mean, James Forrest will play. Who, I don't know, maybe necessarily wouldn't play at the weekend. There's always that sort of novelty feel to a testimonial. So is it a difficult balance for Celtic to strike tonight?
Well, I quite like the testimonials that happen in pre-season. Very rare that they happen now. But you ever remember the Celtic? Was it Celtic Man United one? There was that bit of, you know, firing in it, a bit of bite, because the players are realise that it should be a competitive game. A couple of the ones I played in were the end of the season, you know, and the players were done by that time in holiday mode and the tempo's down. I think this one will be different tonight, particularly for those who are starting the game and maybe those who haven't been involved with Brendan Rodgers before. It's your chance to show in front of a almost full Celtic Park what they can do.
It's a gala occasion, but it's a serious event. The supporters, if possible, want to see Mike Navrovsky. They had a central defence in Dublin at the weekend when Celtic played Wolves, of Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales. Now, you know, that would come as a huge shock to the fans if they were the pairing to play Ross County on Saturday. So they want to see Navrovsky. They want to see Kwon. They want to see as many of the new signings as is possible. And they want to get a handle on the kind of football that Brendan Rodgers intends to play. So it's all about James Forrest. However, there is a serious intent.
01419511025. If you'd like to get in touch on the phones or Twitter at Clyde SSB. So do please get in touch and let us know. I suppose for Rangers as well, there was that open training session, Mark, they are done in terms of public pre-season games, Hoffenheim at the weekend. So they've probably had all the clues that they can get, if you like, the Rangers fans.
Yeah, they've seen a lot of action this year, but I think that was needed. When you're Michael Beale and you're assembling basically a full new squad and you've lost two of your biggest players who you've relied on for years, then you need as much competitive minutes as you can possibly get. And that comes as a bonus to the Rangers fans who get to see it firsthand. I don't know how much you can take from an open training session. You know, it's a nice day out for the fans. They get to see the players up close and personal and some wee drills that you're never likely to see. But Michael Beale will know in his head who his starting 11 is going to be come Saturday evening, because he's had plenty of time to assess. And the interesting thing, as is always, is when you bring in that many new players, how they all gel and how they start the beginning of the season, because they have to start quick. There's no doubt about that. Michael Beale has to get his team up and running to put pressure on Celtic from the go.
Do you know the beauty of this, right? So you're our fancy new studio, the fancy new streaming platforms that you're on. Apparently those who are watching on the stream can't hear you, can't hear anything
really
at the moment. And now I'm torn, because what's the point in me saying that? Because if they're watching on the stream, they won't hear. And if they're just listening on the radio, they don't care, because they're not watching.
They could lip read.
Wow.
Go and lip something into that camera there.
Yeah. The wonders of modern technology.
Super. But it's a show too. Show two, and it's all gone pear shaped.
It's all good. It's all part of the drama.
Get yourself a Nokia.
I like how you've left that on the desk for the visuals. That's so that everybody can see it. I like it. I like it. I'm sure that will feature many times this season. Susan is in East Kilbride, or certainly from East Kilbride. Are you out and about tonight, Susan?
I am, yeah. We're just on our way to Parkhead just now. Me and my son are going to the game.
Ah, brilliant. So, I mean, do you go normally to games, or is this a nice occasion to sort of, you know, get along to Celtic Park with it being a testimonial and so on?
Yeah, I've been to a few games with my son, Aidan. Aidan's a big, big Celtic supporter. I followed James Forrest since he first started playing, only because when he first started playing for Celtic, he was in my uncle's taxi, and my uncle asked for his autograph for Aidan, and he had a wee scrap of paper. And Aidan's now 19 years old, and he's still got a bit of paper.
By the way, I like to see old school, much like yourself. Nokia on the desk,
yep.
Tuxedo, autographs, none of this selfie carry on.
No.
Yeah, the autograph.
Would James Forrest be, you know, he's spanned the autograph and selfie era, Mark Wilson, such as he's been, his service to Celtic. Mm-hmm. You famously took him under your wing in the Celtic reserves. Wilson and Forrest, a dream team down the right hand side. One of you has got a testimonial tonight. The other one's sitting next to an old guy in a tux with a stream that's only started working at 6:15.
Where did it all go?
Exactly. It went wrong drastically for me.
Listen, with regard to autographs, I mean, if you ask John McGinn, our famous John McGinn of Aston Villa and Scotland fame, Tommy Gravison was the man who was his inspiration, because Tommy Gravison signed autographs for 2 hours outside Celtic Park.
That's
apparently.
Just because he wanted to speak to people.
I generally like going off on a tangent, just not yet. Let's rein it in. Seriously though, James Forrest to be getting his testimonial tonight.
Again, it's remarkable to be at a club that long, like Celtic, and has so much success. Be a huge part in that success as well. Not a bit part player. It's just remarkable. His personality, his character as well, much to be admired about that. And look, you mentioned going way back, playing in the reserves with him when he was up and coming. The work rate that kid had as a winger in front of me was what stood out to me, and why Neil Lennon made the call. I've told it before and said, do you think he's ready for me to recommend to the first team? Which Neil did, and I think it fell on deaf ears until...
the Celtic fans have got you to thank.
I think so. So 60,000 going along tonight. You've me to thank.
Did you get an invite?
I had to turn it down because of the live stream. No, I must have... I think James forgot my number, and he's obviously forgot the
Could have been really you should be unfurling the championship
flag. James hand in hand unfurling it and just...
On Saturday.
But he's like, he deserves it, and... Look, he's still got more to offer. He signed a four-year deal a couple of seasons ago, which was quite a surprise. But we've seen he's never going to be a starter now, an out-and-out star. But he's going to come into games and make a difference. And Brendan Rodgers highlighted that when he first came in.
I mean, Susan, is it perhaps the type of scenario that maybe James Forrest's contribution will be truly appreciated once he's not there in this day and age? Barely anyone makes it to testimonial level. Yeah. Hughes rhymed off the number of trophies and so on.
Oh yeah, definitely. He just so deserves this night, and I think it is going to be an absolutely fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah, and Hugh, there's a lot that sort of marries up. This is about James Forrest, but as you mentioned, then it's Celtic's only home pre-season game. Yeah. It's the first one since Brendan Rodgers came back to the club, which is quite a big detail in case you hadn't noticed. It could be a debut for a lot of these players. I'll get Gabriel, who's there to give us team news very soon. So, it's got the ingredients of quite a night.
A nice chance for me to ask Susan, as a Celtic supporter, and Aidan there beside her.
Aidan sitting here, though.
when Brendan had his first press conference on his return to the club, you know, he looked slightly nervous to me, careful of what he said, and did not want to apologise for leaving for Leicester City because he said he left Celtic in a good position. Are you going along there tonight, Susan, welcoming back Brendan Rodgers literally and metaphorically with open arms?
Yeah, I think so because, I mean, he did do his job when he was here the first time round, and, you know, everyone was, obviously when Ange came, everybody didn't think he'd go. And I think this time round, I think he's probably learnt a few things down in Leicester, and I think he'll do well up here again.
Yeah, again, Mark, whether tonight impacts any of that or not, we've been having this debate all week, or sorry, the tail end of last week and this week, is, you know, how much does pre-season really matter? What can you learn? I feel like over the years I've seen so many teams put in surprising results and performances in pre-season and go on to have a bad season and vice versa. Do you pay much attention?
Not much attention. Maybe individually you look at players and you maybe get a grasp of what they're going to bring, those new players, but team performances, no. I say that from experience, Gordon, because I went on tours to Australia and America and we were thumped time and time again and we got slaughtered from guys in the tuxedo next to me in the press, you know. But then started the season well and everything's forgotten about.
Is that because you overindulged in these exotic cities?
Well, a few of them were more like stag do's than pre-season camps.
Oh, great, so, that's what the Celtic fans
well,
want to hear.
I know, brilliant. But it's water under the bridge now, so.
Listen, it's not a recent phenomenon. I take you back to Celtic centenary, and I'll bet you Susan remembers. Celtic started off, Billy McNeil came back to be manager, started off losing 5-1 to Arsenal at Celtic Park, and won the Centenary League and Cup double. So it's a story as old as the hills.
And now we are going back, I must say. Right, there we are. Thank you very much to Susan. It's 01419511025. And you can tweet us as well, at ClydeSSB. So please do get in touch whether you're heading along to that testimonial tonight, like Susan and Aidan, whether you've got any thoughts, Celtic fans, on who you want to see, whether you can actually learn anything, take anything from tonight into the weekend or not. At Rangers fans, what about you in terms of, were you at that open training session today? No Sakala, there no Glenn Kamara. Does that signal the end? Are we now reading too much? I also liked, I think Fashion Sakala put up a picture of him waving on Instagram last night. People commenting saying, he looks to be waving. Does this mean he's late? I mean, that's the level of
that's journalism now
analysis.
Here. People look into that. Everything you post
but
that we go
journalists.
To.
It wasn't journalists we're looking into. It was people amateur who are on social
now,
media.
Everyone is. People really enjoying seeing you in the, you know, in HD or whatever it is that's going on out there. Graham wants to know if your phone is powered by coal. That like you've held up the famous Nokia.
I don't know what it's powered by. What are Nokia's powered by?
I'm delighted to have the fancy new live stream in the studio, but I quite liked the fact that it was like it had a bit of mystique about it. Now it's like there for everyone to see.
No, I'm surprised that even though that phone's dreadful, you've never even upgraded it to a slightly newer Nokia since I've
the
known
point?
You.
No. They keep sending me these advertisements, but I can't really do the link. So,
speaking of, if you do want to watch as well as listen, we're out there on Twitter live streaming, the Clyde One Facebook page, if you search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard on YouTube as well. And Hugh, say something that I never thought we would hear you say. All I want you to do is lean into that microphone. This is what the kids say. Stare at, I don't even know which camera. Let's go for that one over there.
Okay.
And just say, like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
In fact, do it again and point down for me.
Like and subscribe.
Magnificent. Magnificent.
You know what's funny about that story? 5 minutes before the show, he asked how much is it. You had to explain to him that this is
you
free.
Can subscribe for free. If this is news to you, you don't have to pay. Hugh Keevans wasn't so sure. But anyway, 01419511025, and we'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans, like you've never seen him before in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio. He's dusted off a 70-year-old tuxedo to wear, given that we can now be seen as well as listened to. I'm delighted about it. I must admit, some very good, well, mixed, in fact. Let's call it mixed feedback out there on social media. I don't know if McSoonis is making it his personal ambition to Photoshop a different pundit every night and get some fame, but he's gone. It's a brilliant Photoshop job. I mean, you don't even know what that is, but we'll get to that. He's basically got you in your tux tonight with the mic in front of you, and the sort of Casino Royale billboard. It says the name's Tube, Specky Tube. And
like
he says
that.
The new Bond looks terrible. And it does.
But the money's the same.
You need to up your game for next week.
Oh, yeah. I was astonished when it came through the door.
I still had no definite feedback about the whereabouts of your partner in crime. I thought someone would know something.
Yeah,
about where he
spotted.
Is. The official line is he's phoned in sick, basically. He phoned me today and I was in an awful panic, and he did sound terrible for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But he's a great, he's a good actor. As we saw, he popped up in a music video towards the tail end of last season. He has been offered extra roles in sitcoms and so on. So it could be that there is a more out there left field reason that we're not hearing.
Gordon, the TV cameras,
wardrobe malfunction.
I think wardrobe, the way he was sounding, just being in front of the camera, just not for him. You never see him on TV, do you?
I think there are three realistic options: wardrobe malfunction, sunbed malfunction, and sorry if you're listening to your dinner, bowel malfunction. Since he's phoned in sick, right, those would be your three options, and that's the last time I'll say that about Gordon.
The most regrettable.
You know what?
It's a good choice of words.
Was that?
He said the third is the most regrettable.
Yeah, and I spoke to him, and I take much pleasure in hearing pain of my on-air partner.
Anyway, we wish you well, Gordon.
Get well soon, Gordon.
Yeah, we'll hope. Yes, but do you know what? It just rolls on to Thursday, and you two will be reunited. I cannot wait to see his choice of attire.
He'll be nervous. He'll be like Ronald Villiers.
Hat. Yeah, I think so. Anyway, 01419511025. I'll tell you what, because I can see people still getting in touch on their route to James Forrest's testimonial. And we did say it's going to be interesting to see, you know, is it a full strength team? Are there clues ahead of the weekend? Gabriel is at Celtic Park. He's going to tell us who plays tonight.
Thanks, Gordon. And yes, Celtic's pre-season concludes this evening with the visit of Athletic Bilbao. But that is not the main reason we are here. No, it is to celebrate the enduring and ridiculously successful Celtic career of James Forrest. More on that later. Let's start with the team news. Brendan Rodgers has just named his first 11 to play at Celtic Park since returning to the club. A few interesting selections as well, with new boys Navrotsky and Kwon picked from the start. Give you the 11 now. It's Benjamin Segrist in goal. Tomoki Iwata keeps his place at right back, with Cameron Carter-Vickers partnering Mike Navrotsky in the centre of defence. Greg Taylor is on the left-hand side. The midfield three will be Kwon, Callum McGregor and Reo Hatate. James Forrest, the man of the moment, starts on the right wing. Kyogo leads the line, whilst Dyson Maeda is on the left. What about the substitutes? We've got Hart, Bain, Starfelt, Scales, Haksabanovic, Abada, Yang, Turnbull, Holm, Bernabe, O'Reilly, Kelly, Ralston, Welsh and McPherson. So plenty of people on the bench there, and it's close to full strength, that 11, Gordon. And we think we might even see 11 changes at halftime. Celtic trying to warm up for that first league game at the weekend. But an exciting night here as everyone marks the testimonial of James Forrest.
Very interesting team news, Mark Wilson.
Yeah.
I think there are bound to be one or two things that really jump out for you.
Certainly. Well, let's start with the goalkeeping position first and foremost. Hart, you know, coming in for a wee bit of criticism, but Segrist in. But I think the main one, Carter-Vickers, coming back from injury. Now, I was under the impression that Carter-Vickers may not have been fit for the start of the season. We've not seen him.
I think that was certainly the initial diagnosis.
Yeah. He's straight back in tonight. In the game, you know, just preceding the start of the season, alongside Navrosky. That's interesting, because I wonder if that's the way Brendan Rodgers is going to go, or he's just having a look at them. And then Kwon in there from the start. Celtic fans will be excited to get a glimpse of him. Front three, you know, been there, done it. Forrest obviously earned for his testimonial, but Kyogo Maeda,
Carter-Vickers, Hugh, is that the real source of encouragement if you're a Celtic fan going along tonight?
They will welcome him with open arms. The partnership with Navrotsky is interesting, because rumours persist that Starfelt is on his way out of Celtic Park. Celtic have paid good money for Navrotsky from Legia Warsaw. So for me, Carter Vickers along with Navrotsky is a very interesting quan. Very early to get a start from Brendan Rodgers. I take it that Brendan Rodgers has been impressed already by what he has seen. And the South Korean season was midway through when he left South Korea to come here to Glasgow. So his fitness will be first class. And up front, you know, Kyogo and Maeda, Brendan Rodgers clearly likes the look of the pair of them. So I think it's very interesting for a variety of reasons, and that the crowd are going to get a treat.
I'm still struggling to take him seriously in that tux. Like he's a boxing judge sitting in the latest middleweight bout ready to score it. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Max and Debbie, I don't know who's taking charge of the call, but they're both there. How's it going?
Good.
Max, is that you?
Yeah.
Good man. You on your way to the game tonight?
Yeah, we're just 5 minutes away from Paradise.
From Paradise, he's getting the label down. Max, who are you looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Kyogo and Joe Hart.
Oh, you need to wait to see Joe Hart, Mark, because that's interesting. That is, is there anything in that? You know, is that a sign of anything, or is it just a testimonial and you give Benjamin Sigrist a game?
Last season, I thought Joe Hart was past his best. And, you know, I just think that Celtic have to be looking at that position. Joe Hart played against Wolves in Dublin, and the reaction to his performance was not great. It was unfortunate when the penalty was awarded. However, I think Celtic need to be looking at the goalkeeper position.
I think it is an interesting one. When you look at the back four tonight, now, obviously, Iwata's not going to play there all season, but Taylor's going to play left back. Carter Vickers going to play there. Navrosky, you would think's going to play there. You wonder if he's just seeing how Sigrist does in that kind of triangle between the goalkeeper and two centre halves.
Because I can totally understand why people would like say, stop over analysing a team in a pre-season friendly. I do get that, but it is the last one, and as you say, there or thereabouts, it's fairly strong. I mean, James Forrest plays. It's James Forrest's testimonial. You know, he certainly deserves that much.
But apart from that, you look at that side, and you would not be surprised if all of them featured against Ross County at the weekend. I think the goalkeeper and the back four is such an important part to get right in the team. Mm-hmm. And I often think, well, why would you mix it up just before the first game of the season, even if it is 45 minutes? I think he's wanting to look at Sigrist and how he communicates. That's not to say that Sigrist will be in for the start, but if he shows up well, I think Brendan Rodgers knows he's got a competitive goalkeeper, number two, that can challenge Joe Hart.
I think we had this debate, though, Hugh, at the end of last season, and it was very split, and it wasn't even necessarily born out of massive criticism for Joe Hart. It was, if you are Celtic, you're all conquering, pretty much everything works, what can you upgrade? And some people would come back with goalkeeper, but I do remember some real strong disagreements on that. I seem to remember the tone of a couple of calls along the line, I can't even believe you're having this discussion. But the more the summer goes on, I feel maybe more and more people are getting on board with it, but not everyone. There's still going to be a lot of Joe Hart fans out there.
A few tens of thousands of supporters, then obviously you have many different shades of opinion. I just thought last season he showed signs of his best days being behind him. I never understood why Sigrist was out of the picture for so long. There were, again, suggestions that he and Ange Postecoglou had a falling out. I wouldn't know whether that was factual or incorrect, but it's time for him to be looked at, and it's an occasion where he can show that he is the modern day goalkeeper. The number one fault that Joe Hart has is whenever the ball's at his feet, there's a problem there. He almost sold a goal against Rangers at Ibrox for that reason. So Benji Sigrist has to get looked at, and tonight is a big chance for him.
Debbie, do you usually go along to the games? You've been dragged along for testimonial nights in the summer holidays. Which one is it? Oh, she's gone.
She's
gone quiet.
Wait a game.
Too shy.
But listen, I think it's a good point. So in these home pre-season games, a lot of the fans don't get the opportunity to go to Celtic Park because, you know, season tickets are are taken up right away. So a lot of people go there to these home games to get their first glimpse of the team, or the only glimpse they're going to get of the side. That's why I'm slightly surprised Celtic have only chosen one home game. I get the tour, I get the money it brings in, the revenue touring can bring to teams, but you know, Celtic fans are only getting one glimpse at home of their side, and it's tonight for a testimonial. So a lot of them will be going along there looking forward to seeing a good show.
Yeah, let's hear a bit from the man of the moment, James Forrest. He's been reflecting on what he says is an unbelievable experience at Celtic ahead of his testimonial. He says he's keen to keep working hard and rack up plenty of more appearances.
It's incredible. It's a great achievement, and obviously in the modern day, not many players that get testimonials, and no, I think it's a great occasion. It's great for myself, for the club, and like for my family and everyone involved. Coming through the youth at Celtic, all the coaches and everyone always tells you and lets you know it's going to be really hard work, and not many players make it. And no, I think it's, as I said, it's been hard work, but there's been so many highs, and as I said for myself and for my family, it's been unbelievable, the experience and the journey, and it's been incredible. Majority of my career at Celtic, I've always played, but it's always been difficult. Like a club like Celtic, you're always signing international players, like top quality players, so I think it's always hard, but I think at the same time it's good. It makes you work hard and you need to keep adapting your game. But as I said, like, I think I maybe started 5 games last season and was coming off the bench, but as I said, it's a new manager, it's a new team as well, so just going to, like, as I said, like, keep working hard and hopefully can add to that.
Tonight is all about him, irrespective of what happens in the future. Mark, it will be interesting, because I feel like this time last year people said, oh, don't worry, you know, he'll still feature, he'll still play a big part. And he didn't really, you know, as you've heard there, I think it was 5 starts. The contract is still there. He has been doubted and written off before and come storming back to play a big role, and more so than under Brendan Rodgers the last time.
Yeah.
Said, Father Time moves on, obviously. So you do wonder what this season looks like.
Well, particularly the position that James plays. Mm. When guys like him get older, they tend to lose that wee bit of pace, and wingers tend to move inside, maybe into a number 10 role. And I just don't see James being able to do that at Celtic anyway, because of the quality they already possess in there. Of course, Brendan Rodgers will still be looking to add to the squad. They've already signed wingers as well, in Telio and Yang. So it's going to be difficult for him. But that's the most impressive thing about James Forrest, the longevity in his Celtic career, that he's right. International players have been brought in year after year, and he has to still stave them off and put his fight up for a place in that side, and he's more often not done that. But as you say, Gordon, time moving on, he may just be resigned to limited game time, and that might be okay for him. People sometimes look at players and think that's a bad part of their personality. I don't see anything wrong with that. As long as James is happy, if he's fit, which he's not often, always been, I should say. Mm-hmm. That's another difficult hurdle he's had to overcome, then good on him for sticking
it. In the modern day 16-man game, then obviously he has a contribution to make, yep. But primarily his contribution is going to be from the subs bench. You don't bring in players from all over the world who are 10 years younger than James Forrest and not play them.
It's funny what you said. I think there's a bit of a family feel. Have you noticed the callers are all phoning in? It's parents and children in the car. The Mulhollands have sent a message, a picture of Leo on his way to the first game as well. It must be summer holidays. It's testimonial season. It's all there. So hopefully there's an enjoyable night out there. Now, before we go any further, let me tell you a little bit about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you.
The cash register. Clyde One.
The cash register call went to 5 rings, which means there is even more cash up for grabs as we've got another rollover. It's your chance to win £53,000. How many of those bow ties could you buy with that? Don't answer that question, Hugh Keevans, when we make the next call tomorrow. So enter now by texting YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. If you get the call from us after 3 p.m. on Wednesday the 2nd of August, answer within 5 rings, make sure you know the correct cash register amount, please, and the 53,000 could be yours. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entries £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and those calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. Entries since Lynn won on Monday have rolled over, and all the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. So quick recap, text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £53,000. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson is here with the world's worst James Bond impersonator. It's Hugh Keevans. He's got the tuxedo on for the new live stream. Look, would you mind turning that Nokia off?
No,
do you realise people can now see you?
Yes, yes, but just a quick message from a friend of mine who said, you're looking great, 0073.
I see what he's done there. Because the rule was no phones in the studio. We don't want to be unprofessional. And we said, well, do you know what? The Mark Wilsons of the world, the students of the game, the modern men, they actually use their phones to maybe look up stats or fixtures or whatever it may be. That thing looks up nothing. So if you've got that in your hand, the phone I'm talking about, by the way, you're breaking the rules.
I've turned it off.
Thank goodness you clarified that there, because I can see under the desk.
You get one complimentary message, and what do you get?
Do you know who's in their element on this live streaming? And I knew it would be, do you remember Curious Creatures? Almost became a resident poet in previous seasons. He's been on. He says, so where on earth the Dazzler? And old Shug is there instead. Has his bottle crashed already? Is he hiding in his bed? I've heard the police got him with a puddle at his feet. He was practicing live streaming, but in the middle of his street.
I can't help but feel we're showing a distinct lack of sympathy.
For someone who's ill,
Dazzler, Dazzler, get well soon.
Oh, well, I've missed Curious Creatures. He's got that in for Daz, hasn't he?
Oh, but in a major way.
He could have a full book about Daz. I think he should illustrate it as well.
I don't think 01419511025. Stephen in Cumbernauld has dialed in. How's it going, Stephen?
Hey, afternoon's fine, panel, thank you.
Good man, what's your point tonight?
I just wanted to talk about Rangers' pre-season. I think some of the players have just not gelled well together so far. Especially Sima, and I really don't like to look at him so far. I think it's a big mistake to get rid of Pashin Sakala. I know he's one of the players that divides opinion. I've always been a big fan of him. I don't know why they're seemingly letting him go quite easily, and why Barisic is still getting a game is beyond me.
Yeah, a couple of names that I thought might come up. Let's start with Pashin Sakala, Hugh. There were those stories, I think in the last sort of 24 hours or so, that his future is not going to be at Rangers. Yeah. We wait to hear a bit more about that. There then was an open training session today and he was absent. I understand he wasn't there, but from what I read, he wasn't there. What do you make of that? Because Stephen's right, he probably does divide opinion, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, even he can read the room and find out that he's behind Lammers, he's behind Dessers, he's behind Danilo. He's not going to get a game, and you know, he's looking to his future. And I think perhaps he's had the conversation with Michael Beale, and his time is limited.
You know, but that's the bit that some people, like Stephen, disagree with. Presumably, they think that yes, there's maybe a lack of consistency, maybe an unpredictability at times, but he's made an impact enough for people like Stephen.
But well, unfortunately for Pashin Sakala, he has his worst moments in big games, and you know, I don't think you can condemn Michael Beale for that. By the same token, Barisic, I do agree with Stephen that he makes the same mistakes over and over again, and I wonder if his time is at an end.
I think with Sakala, I can see why Rangers fans would want to keep him. I think he brings an element of almost chaos, unpredictable, for opposition to play against. I know myself, if Pashin Sakala was playing against me as a winger, which he often did, you know, you'd be terrified at times at his pace and not knowing where he was going to go. Hugh is right, though, in terms of in those finer moments in the big games where you expect a player that plays for Rangers in the final third of the pitch to put chances away. He squandered them on big occasions, so that sticks in the minds of Rangers fans as well. But he probably is going to play second fiddle to Michael Beale's new signings, and that's maybe something he wasn't prepared to do. He's still a young man, he's still got a lot of football to play, so he maybe just wanted to go, and it may be the best for both sides. But Michael Beale has to ensure that whoever's starting this season has to be an upgrade on what they had last season. No doubt about it. The signings that he's brought in have to be better than Sakala, have to be better than Matondo, and certainly have to be better than Morelos and Kent. That's what he's got to get, and he's had a long time to look at Sakala. Maybe he's just thought, we've got better now coming through the door.
Okay, one of the other names mentioned was Borna Barisic. I feel like we've had this debate before. I feel like we might have it again. I will try my best to frame it in a new way.
Well, you'll get the same answer from me.
Okay. No new answer for the new season?
Well, like, I've been a critic of Borna Barisic defensively for some time now. I think Rangers, it's glaring. It's one of the most glaring deficiencies in the Rangers side with Barisic. Now, there's no doubt going forward, the year that Rangers won the league, the amount of assists when they get in the final third, terrific delivery, no doubt about it. But there's so much more to being a fullback at a big club. And I think Barisic is poor defensively. I think he's the weak link in the back four. I think for all the folks that Tavernier's got defensively, he is miles better than Barisic. So there's a huge imbalance here. And I think you see it when teams come up against him in the big occasions where they get in and they cause trouble. And it's down Barisic's side. So no surprise to me that Rangers fans are coming round to that thinking. And I think with Yilmaz, the way he performed at the tail end of the season, the glimpses we got, you could see a player in there. So
maybe not had a brilliant pre-season either, though, according to one caller last night.
Maybe not, but it's back to the question of how much do you look into pre-season? Individually, yes, people will get scrutinised. People like Yilmaz, who finished the season well and people are looking for him to kick on, then maybe people are disappointed. But starting the season is an important thing, and I think it'll be, if Yilmaz is fit, it should have been him.
I know that Abdallah Sima hasn't set the heather on fire, but I think Stephen's a bit premature in that one. I
mean, competitive ball not been kicked yet.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to give the players some time. I know that this whole season is about Michael Beale's recruitment. If the recruitment is poor and Rangers don't win the league, Michael Beale's in trouble. But the man deserves to get some way into the season before you start condemning his choices.
It's a tough school when Hugh Keevans is telling you not to make snap judgments, honestly. Yeah. Stephen, who do you like then? Let's finish on a positive, if you like. What is filling you with optimism and excitement ahead of the new season?
I really like the look of Lammers and the two young boys that have came through the academy, and Dill as well. Obviously, Dill's got a previous existing relationship with players that have been there, done it before in last season. I really like Lammers. He seems to have a good idea of how he's spending the ball, but he's got a good shot on him. Seems really strong. I think he's the striker that we've been missing for a wee while.
And yet the marquee signing, you would think, is Danilo. But Stephen's right, Lammers is scoring. Always a big help to a striker to be getting goals in pre-season matches when you've just arrived at the club. And I think I like Michael Beale's philosophy, which appears to be middle to front. Let's go and hurt the opposition and let's score goals. And by scoring goals, you win matches. And by winning matches, there's a chance you might win the league. So I think his philosophy is entirely positive, and I expect Rangers to get off to a comfortable start at Rugby Park at the weekend.
I think the interesting thing, Gordon, will be the shape. We've been saying this, well, I've been saying it all summer when Andrew was here, but interesting to hear what Kenny thought of it last night, and with Cifuentes coming in, he thought, him and Roger actually thought that Michael Beale would go to a more two defensive with Cantwell in front and maybe two out-and-out strikers. It's a big departure from what Rangers fans have been going along to see for the past, 3 years or something like that, 4 years. Huge change in that. So Saturday evening, when the team is announced, you know, when kickoff is taken, it'll be interesting to see how that starting 11 shapes up.
Thank you very much, Stephen and Cumbernauld, on the usual number. And we're only halfway through the show, so if you want to join in, please do. We'd love to hear from you, whether it is on Rangers transfers and pre-season, or James Forrest's testimonial, or something entirely different. I know Derek McInnes was speaking today. We're maybe still getting over the League Cup group stages and the draw that was made for the next round as well. It's always good at this time of the season when you can speculate until your heart's content about transfers as well. So do give us a call. Speaking of calls, I saw a call coming in there on the screen from a Gordon in Motherwell. I just wonder if he's phoning in to defend himself against the vicious accusations.
I hope it is.
But anyway, well, hopefully he'll clear the phone lines for now, because it's time that we told you about this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Now, I am still... It's going to take weeks, months before the excitement of this wears off. History was made last night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The first ever live-streamed, televised Beat the Pundit won comfortably by Kenny Miller. And we've been speaking to the production staff. I don't know to which extent it worked, but they're under strict instructions to zoom right in on the face of whichever pundit is taking part. You in particular usually are the same red colour as the backdrop there. So that could be interesting. You're a bit of a panicker on Beat the Pundit.
I am.
You don't really care, quite frankly, in the nicest way possible.
No, I move from one failure to the next with no loss of enthusiasm.
But you do like to celebrate a little bit when it goes your way.
Yes.
So let's see what it looks like tonight. If you fancy Beat the Pundit, 0141 951 1025, and you must call before 7 o'clock. So get in touch and you could be playing Beat the Pundit next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is still here. He's still wearing his tuxedo. He's not even taking the bow tie off. He actually came in with tie options this evening and asked us which one we preferred. That one was as good as any. Yeah. So off he goes. Mark Wilson here, looking decidedly more casual, because of course you can now watch us as well as listen here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Night two though, 1 hour in, not been taken off air yet. Thursday night, I think, will be the big test.
Yeah, yeah. We all know who's going to let the side down.
We'll see. 0141 951 1025. Some things don't really change. You can get in touch, you let us know what's on your mind, and we'll talk football. It is that simple. So if you're heading along to Celtic Park for the testimonial tonight, and you might be in the stadium by now, but anyone who's got thoughts on that team, there was a few changes again, and I know that people don't care about reading into pre-season, but some people do. So Benjamin Sigrist is in goals, no Joe Hart. Cameron Carter-Vickers is a welcome, I'm sure, addition if you're a Celtic fan, and fairly strong really across the board apart from that. So or as well as that, I should say. So if you've any thoughts on that, please do. Previous caller set it up nicely for you Rangers fans. It does look like the signs are there for Fashion Sakala and Glenn Kamara to be heading for the exit door. Is that the right call, and is that what you read into things at the moment? Is it the right decision? Let us know. And if there is anything else out there, please do share it. 0141 951 1025. I'm even going to give you the chance to win money a bit later on in the show, which will be great fun. But first, and I'm looking forward to it, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I loved it last night. It lived up to it. Kenny Miller, the first ever televised Beat the Pundit contestant. You should have seen him. He came in with the whitest of white polo shirts on, brand new, ironed to perfection, freshly shaved head. I mean, he's had that look for a while.
He knows
he's
what he's doing, Kenny.
He's got it down. He was telling me it was a one and then a two and then a half, and it was all I could barely keep up.
Aye, a one, a two and a half. What?
Never mind. Haircuts.
What?
So I'm looking forward to seeing how Beat the Pundit plays out on this.
Yeah,
new
I've now went down the same road as Kenny. I've still got the same hair, a creased t-shirt
you
on.
You got that cut at the end of last week though. With this
last week, I knew it was coming up, so I prepared, you know, the week out haircut.
Don't think it's gone unnoticed. That's fine. Anyway, let's bring in tonight's contestant, who is Cooper on the line. How's it going, Cooper?
Aye, good. How are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
No,
good.
But me and my dad usually.
Brilliant. How do you usually do when you play along at home?
Oh, well, he beats me every time, but he'll help me this time.
But you're the only one brave enough to phone in, basically.
Yeah, he's driving.
Quite right. What's his name?
Peter.
Cooper and Peter. We've got a double act, which is fine. I said this last night. There are no rules against that. Who's the weaker out of Hugh and Mark?
Mark.
What? I was certain Cooper was going to say Hugh there.
I'm not sure even Hugh.
Explain your work in there, Cooper.
Father said it, so.
Anyway, let's find out. We'll toss the coin. Heads, it is Hugh. Tails, it is Mark Wilson. Hopefully the pressure doesn't get to me. Look at that textbook tossing technique.
Nice.
Heads, it is Hugh Keevans.
Just as well, Cooper.
His magic tuxedo. So what we'll do here is we'll give Hugh Keevans some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. And I'm sure, Cooper, you've heard it before. The rules are very simple. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And if you want to pass and move on, that is fine by me, okay?
Yep.
Right, good man, good men. 30 seconds on the clock, Cooper, with Dad Peter in the background, and your time starts now. Who finished fourth in last year's Scottish Premiership?
Hart.
Scott Tiffany left Partick Thistle for which other Scottish team?
Pass.
Who was the top scoring Scotland international in English Premier League last season? How many times have the European Championships been hosted in the UK?
Two.
Name one of the teams in Celtic's Champions League group last season.
RB Leipzig.
Who is the current manager of Stranraer? Any guesses?
Nah.
Alright, let's bring back Hugh Keevans. 0073, how are you?
This could be a zero, by the way.
You think they're tough?
Could be a zero
I
for
think
me.
This is
no.
tough.
Oh dear. There's one or two in there that he'll get.
Think so.
Even he'll get.
I'm not so sure.
Wait, what's your second name?
Are you ready anyway?
I am.
Same set of questions, Hugh Keevans. Live on televisions and tablets across the nation. Your time starts now. Who finished fourth in last year's Scottish Premiership?
Hearts.
Scott Tiffany left Partick Thistle for which other Scottish team?
Kilmarnock.
Who was the top scoring Scotland international in the English Premier League last season?
McTominay.
How many times have the European Championships been hosted in the UK?
Three.
Name one of the teams in Celtic's Champions League group stage last season.
Bayer Leverkusen.
Who is the current manager of Stranraer?
Pass.
Who is the only League One side left in the Viaplay Cup?
Stirling Albion.
Okay. Cooper, what's the verdict?
Oh, dodgy there, man. I don't know.
Dodgy there, man, is as good a post-match analysis as we could have asked for. I feel like, you know, we're all learning here on the job now that we're visible. I feel like I'm going to need to change my technique, because when it was just old-fashioned radio, I could, you know, I was putting my little ticks beside the right questions. Now if you're watching with an eagle eye, you'll be able to see who's got the questions right.
Ah, right, okay.
You
need to hide it. Get books, run you, like you used to do at school.
Who finished fourth in the Premiership last season? Hearts, you both got it. Scott Tiffany left Thistle for
Dundee.
None of you got it. Shea Adams, well done, Cooper. Who was helping. Shea Adams got 5 goals last season.
Yep.
Stuart Armstrong was second on 2, so it's 2-1. How many times have the Euros been hosted in the UK? 1996, which you'll remember. Were you there?
I was.
Yeah, I thought you might have been. And then 2021, as it ended up being, was partly hosted here, wasn't it? So it's just 2. And Cooper and Dad got
Pedro.
It right. For
taxi,
3.
Taxi for Keevan.
1. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because.
The first defeat.
Bayer Leverkusen were not in Celtic's group last season. Real Madrid. Shakhtar Donetsk and RB Leipzig, which Cooper got.
Is
absolutely running away with it. 4-1. The current manager of Stranraer is Scott Agnew.
Would have got it. I was speaking to him a couple of weeks ago.
Don't believe you. And the only League One side. A bit of respectability. Well done to Stirling Albion. But it was not enough for Hugh Keevans. It is a 4-2 victory for Cooper.
Well done,
on
Cooper.
The line. It is the first sign ball of the season. It is the first televised defeat for a pundit. He's twiddling with his bow tie. I hope the camera's picked that one up. Sad time to
someone. What can you say?
I'm looking at you.
Yeah, listen.
Yes, Cooper.
Don't you get too chirpy, Cooper. There may be a return match one day.
It had to be someone, and it was only fitting, really, that it was you when you think about it.
Yeah, listen, the bow tie was causing a kind of constriction. And that's my excuse.
People have said that they've wanted to throttle you many times on this show, so they've never been jealous of a bow tie before. Thank you, Cooper. Well done. The sign ball is on its way.
Well done, Cooper.
We try and give away fewer than we did last season.
Yeah.
We broke the budget
to pay for this studio.
No. Oh yeah, by the way, it's now a size 2 flyaway you get signed by one pundit because the studio's all got the
cash. Well done, Cooper, though. The first victor in the new studio.
But the possibilities are endless on here. It's going to take a while, like I say, for the novelty to wear off. We're still going to wait for Gordon DL's first appearance. And they can be spectacular on Beat the Pundit.
Yeah.
Marvin Bartley jumps about like an absolute schoolboy during Beat the Pundit. How will he fare if it is him tomorrow night? Roger Hanna didn't get to play last night, king of Beat the Pundit. Andy Halliday, excellent at Beat the Pundit as well.
I tell you what, Roger, people will be interested to see Roger's technique. I was taken aback from Roger's technique.
Because he closes his eyes,
head down, it's weird.
But he says he's going to open his eyes now because of the camera.
I don't think it's possible for him to open his eyes.
Did you hear the shout on him last night? We've got 0073 next to us in his kilt. Someone sent in to say that Roger Hanna looks like Frasier. Are you familiar with Frasier's work?
Oh, I love Frasier.
You are the type of person that would watch Frasier.
Do you know that's true, right? Because the only other person I know, I think, that I can ever recall watching Frasier is my gran. That would make sense.
It's always
a classic.
It's like Channel 4,
10 o'clock in the morning, or it used to be.
I feel like
if Frasier just reminds me of being off school sick. Do you know what I mean?
In one of those days,
it's absolutely.
Used to watch this morning.
Kelsey Grammer, wonderful.
Roger, can see it with Roger. With his headphones, but his technique. But we've got to stay true to ourselves, Gordon. We can't change our techniques for the cameras.
Absolutely. Yeah. Brilliant. Anyway, well done to the guys on Beat the Pundit. Back tomorrow, as always. We'll see how many problems Beat the Pundit causes us this season. Let's go. But because we're not done with the prize giving yet. We've got a real surprise up our sleeve for anyone who didn't listen last night. We'll do that in the not too distant future. But let's bring in Patrick, who is a Celtic fan from Coventry. How's it going, Patrick?
Yeah, not too bad. How about yourself?
Yeah, all good here. Now, being down in Coventry, you won't be at the testimonial tonight, but what are you making of the team and the players and the way it's shaping up for your team Celtic at the moment?
Well, to be honest, I wasn't quite sure on the setup prior to watching the Wolverhampton game. I think once watching that game, seeing how the team gelled, the pace that we were playing at, there was just a real good flow throughout the whole game. And I know Wolves come into it a little bit, but seeing us playing that really fast flowing football that we've seen throughout the last two seasons, it's really filling me with some excitement inside, and I can't wait now especially for tonight to see the new boy Narowski play and the return of Carter Vickers as well, see how those two gel together. But I really can't wait for Saturday now, so yeah, let's bring it on.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm looking forward to the season for sure. Mark, again, we keep going over it. Fine, pre-season isn't the big learning process for everyone, but for those like Patrick who start to look at maybe teams and formations and so on, have you been able to take anything from Celtic, or has the personnel been too disrupted to do that?
I think you can take what Patrick's saying there in terms of the tempo, because I think that was the biggest fear, that when Ange Postecoglou left the building, he would take with him the tempo of the side that's been so entertaining for the last couple of years. But I think you can see that that's still there. I think Brendan Rodgers addressed that early doors. He realised, he'd taken in, probably a lot of Celtic games last year anyway. He'd realised that that was, such a strong part of Celtic's identity over the last couple of years. And the fans bought into it and expected nothing less. If Brendan Rodgers can add his style of possession football to the tempo, then it's a win-win for Celtic. And I think we've seen glimpses of it, but again, I think you can only really tell when the real stuff starts, when you get maybe four or five games into the season and you get an established starting 11 and you know the kind of substitutes that's going to come off the bench and play a big part in the game. That's when you get real feel for it.
The thing about the real stuff is that two of Celtic's first four games are at Pittodrie and at Ibrox. They have got to hit the ground running, and I think Brendan Rodgers knows subconsciously that some people are looking at him and thinking, well, I didn't really want you back as manager. So he has to deal with that as well. But I look at tonight's starting 11 and James Forrest's testimonial. If you put out that 11 against Ross County on Saturday, I would expect that 11 to win comfortably. This is a Ross County side who were minutes, literally minutes away from being relegated. And Malky Mackay has had to completely rebuild the team. These are the games that in this coming season, Celtic have to win and win well at home.
Patrick, what is it about Navrovsky, I suppose, and Carl Starfelt that makes you think that's the signing, that's the upgrade, that's the one that comes in and makes the team better?
I just think it's been like, you know, the build up and, you know, the hype from you know, the numerous journalists that have, you know, reported on this sign in. He looks a big lad as well, who, you know, looks seemingly like he's going to command the centre of the area, but until, you know, we actually see him in person, you know, it's very hard to get a gauge on how well he's going to do. But, you know, he's got a smile on his face, he seems to have a good personality, so, you know, kind of, you know, following the same mantra we had before, as long as, you know, the player's, you know, got a good personality, I think you'll settle in well.
It's going to be an interesting one, Mark. I mean, there's a possibility that Hugh raises. If Carl Starfelt was to be tempted away from Celtic before the end of the window, that's entirely different. But if he's still here, and I know he's got his critics, but he also had a really good season at points, you know, in the last campaign. So it would be interesting to see to what end Navrovsky can be an upgrade if he's able to push Carl Starfelt out of the side and keep him there.
Well, the outlay on him would suggest that, you know, the Celtic recruitment staff and Brendan Rodgers thinks he could be an upgrade and can challenge Starfelt for that position. Starfelt and Carter Vickers, I think, had a tremendous partnership, and I thought it got better as the season went on. And I think you saw what happened when you took one of them out of the equation, that the difficulties that Celtic had, particularly Carter Vickers, of course, at the tail end of the season. But as much as I like Starfelt, he has got his flaws. In possession, if teams leave him in possession, he tends to cause his own problems. Defending his box, I think he's exceptional at, and I think that's one of his strengths. So I do think there's areas that can be upgraded. Now, if Navrovsky's that, then great, because Celtic need upgrades, particularly if they're going into the Champions League and want to progress in that stage.
Physically, Navrovsky reminds me of Simonovic, and he was a good no-nonsense defender for Celtic, and I think that's what they're in the market for. Carter Vickers' outstanding season last time out, and the fans will be happy to see him back, but I think they, like Patrick on the line, I think they have high hopes for Navrovsky.
Patrick, one other thing in the defensive area, if you like, would be that Joe Hart doesn't start the testimonial tonight and Benjamin Segrist does. Are we crazy for even entertaining the idea that this has any significance? Is it just a testimonial and Joe Hart returns, no questions asked going forward? Or is there anything in it?
I wouldn't think there's anything in it at the moment, no. But I do think it's an area where you need to look at strengthening that. You know, I kind of agree with what most Celtic fans are thinking. It's a make or break season for Joe Hart, you know. If he you know, plays like he did in the friendlies with his errors, then, you know, I think it's going to be a very, very long season for us if, you know, that's the case. But I don't think of, you know, too much into it tonight. I just think it's a good chance for Segrist to get a run out.
I don't think Brendan Rodgers can look at these pre-season performances and afford not to think, I wonder if it's time for a change. And that's why Segrist that is featuring tonight could feature against Ross County on Saturday. He makes too many errors, Joe Hart, and it will be costly. And the time to find out that he's made too many errors is not when he's cost you points.
Time will tell. Thank you, Patrick. It was nice to speak to you. Hopefully we'll do that again. I enjoyed it, Patrick, down in Coventry on 01419511025. Now, I must admit, sometimes it's fine to be honest and things get put on your desk in here and ideas and competitions, and I can be quite cynical. And when this one got handed to me yesterday for the first week of the new season, I thought, I just hope that works. I hope it works well in our new studio. And I'll tell you what, it did not disappoint. We're going to play this very soon.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Pipelining with Pipeline Energy Solutions.
I mean, firstly, what you need is a catchy name, a catchy title. So all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're teaming up with our friends at Pipeline Energy Solutions to play Pipe Lion. Get it? See what we did? Yeah, really good. Really, really good stuff. And it worked unbelievably last night. But the gist of it is, We're going to give you the chance to win £250 in cash, and all you need to do is play the game Pipeline. It's a bit like Would I Lie to You? I mean, it's very like Would I Lie to You, quite honestly. You'll know exactly how that works if you've seen it. So one of the pundits is going to read out one truth and one lie. All you have to do is find out which is which, or tell us which is which. And if you guess correct, you can win the £250 courtesy of Pipeline Energy Solutions. It could not have gone better last night. Yeah. Kenny Miller revealed that he was a champion bowler in his youth. I did not know this. The other story seemed far more plausible about him being invited backstage at Led Zeppelin, because the lead singer of Led Zeppelin is a big Wolves fan. It was when Kenny was at Wolves. I thought that's the one. It's got to be. But it wasn't. Kenny Miller, a youth champion at bowls. And all day I've been getting inundated on Twitter from bowling clubs, bowling suppliers, various outlets wanting us to go down and try some bowls with Kenny Miller. So maybe we will do it at some point. So all you need to do is give us a call before the end of the next break. So 01419511025. Give us a call right now. Mark Wilson, you are in the hot seat tonight. In no particular order, give us your lie and your facts.
Oh, okay.
Your truth.
Well, you're not going to believe this, but
Bill,
Kenny,
would say that.
I would say that, wouldn't I? Kenny being a bowling, or could have been a bowler, believe it or not, I could have been a basketballer.
Nah, you're just copying Kenny Miller now.
No, not at all. Well, in my school days, I was quite a player in PE. I was, and my PE teacher.
There's a leap between PE and being a basketball player.
No, well, my PE teacher pointed me in the right direction, and I had the opportunity to go and represent North Lanarkshire.
Am I allowed to cross-reference it?
Well, and that came to a situation where I could have went with Scotland Schoolboys, football team, or basketball
team.
Well,
that's the lie. What's the other one?
Well, you're not going to believe this either. I was a keen, well, I was a boating enthusiast. You used to find myself on the bonny banks of Loch Lomond, cruising about in my boat until I sunk my vessel. And that was the end of my boating days.
How old were
you
when this accident at sea occurred?
I must have been 22, 23.
Were you a Celtic player then?
I was a Celtic player.
Have any insurance objections to one of their top players scooting around the Loch Lomond?
Now that you say that, maybe.
Let's let the people decide. Is Mark Wilson a basketball protege or a boating disaster? 01419511025. Lines close at the end of the break, and we will pick a caller at random.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is a bit of a new feel for Clyde One Super Scoreboard this season. You can watch us as well as listen. We're doing things slightly differently this week as well, but some things never change. You've got the same, I was going to say old, but same appreciated voices in Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans. We still don't really know where Gordon Dale is tonight, but we'll hopefully find him before Thursday. You can still call with all your footballing opinions, and please do right now. And you can still tweet as well at Clyde SSB. The lines are now closed, by the way, for the competition. Such an incredible response. The screen is still lighting up. And now you probably be able to see it reflecting on my face. But anyway, it is still lighting up. So brilliant response. But those lines are closed for the competition. So without further ado, let's get stuck in.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Pipelying with Pipeline Energy Solutions.
Pipelying, honestly.
Great
pay rise for whoever come up with that. Pipeline Energy Solutions. Thanks to them, all this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we are giving you the chance to win £250 in cash. And all you need to do is play the game Pipeline. Earlier on, Mark Wilson read out one truth and one lie, and you had to work out which one is which. And if you come on here and get it correct, you win the £250 courtesy of Pipeline Energy Solutions. So very quickly, tell us the two facts again, if you will.
So I could have been a basketball player. I was selected for North Lanarkshire.
Okay.
Yep. And the other one was I was a boating enthusiast. Used to spend a lot of time
Captain Birdseye.
I've seen that, but you get the guess.
I don't believe either of these, so this is going to be
well, one of them is the truth.
This is going to be interesting. It is going to be interesting. Okay, well, tonight we've got Stuart and Bathgate on the line. How's it going, Stuart?
Hi, fine.
Now Stuart's going to try and work out which is the truth and which is the lie. So Stuart, was Mark Wilson a potential basketball superstar or a boating enthusiast who, in his words, sunk his vessel?
No, I was a basketball.
What did I do now? No, sorry, Stuart. I wasn't in a basketball player.
I must admit, I thought Stuart was going to get it right. That was the whole point.
Have we got somebody else that guessed the other one?
Oh, he says he thought that was the lie. All right, there we are. Well, he said that now. To be fair, that is what he told the producer, right, so he sort of threw me off there. Stuart. And he was right. So you were a boating... enthusiast.
I was. Can you believe that?
I genuinely don't believe, because when you said I sunk my vessel, that's just language that you wouldn't use.
that's language boating enthusiasts would use, I slipped back into. Mm-hmm. It was a long time ago. No, I had a boat, so I signed. Believe it or not, when I signed for Celtic, I bought myself as a treat a caravan in Loch Lomond and a speedboat.
Whose idea was that?
Well, it was mine.
Where does someone like you get a boat?
I don't know how I get into conversation with Paul Telfer, all people. So I was vying for, by the way, this explains a lot. I was vying for the position of right back with Paul Telfer, and he suggested he knew someone that was selling a boat. So he took me through to Edinburgh, and sure enough, this lovely couple was selling their speedboat. I said, I'll take it. So I bought it, hooked up to the back of the car, and took it to Loch Lomond. None on anything about speedboats. Got it in the water. And had adventure after adventure until
Don't you need any kind of licence to be driving around Loch Lomond?
Who knows?
I think so. Maybe now you
think so. Did not
did Paul tell for not pointing you in the right direction? So how did it come to
sinking of the vessel? Well, the I was coming up. I was coming up.
So this genuinely is true.
100% true. I was coming up from Luss. Had a nice wee day out with my dad and my granddad at the time. And as I'm cruising up at cruising speed, I turn around and my granddad's getting lower and lower. I said, Papa, you're going to need to come and sit up here. So we got up to the top of our blue where I had my place, and we got the seats out, and the boat was literally sinking, filling up with water.
I mean, right down. It was good.
The back end was done. So we had to quickly get it out. It was enough to get it going to the bay. It got up on the trailer, hooked out the water, and there was a guy there, and I just literally gave him the boat. That was the end of my boat days.
I just gave him it.
There we are.
Fantastic. You think you know a guy? That's two nights in a row you've both done me. I didn't know Kenny Miller was a keen bowler. I did not know you were a seaman.
Aye.
I'm losing confidence in the guy who's driving me home.
Incredible.
I know. Listen, if you want me to take you out in the loch any time.
No, you're okay. No, you're fine.
I still know a few sailors down that way.
Wilson is the captain of our ship, eh? Oh, incredible. Well done, Stuart, who's I think has disappeared already. He was bored of your story, but he's won £250 thanks to Pipeline Energy Solutions, and we'll have another chance to win tomorrow night.
I was back. I got my sea legs last week. Me and, by the way, maybe that's up with, what's up with Gordon? We went on the Waverley last week.
I heard about this. And there are
I don't
a few,
know if you enjoyed it.
There are a few details that I'm waiting to find out if they are broadcastable before I'm willing to share. So I think let's hope he returns fit on Thursday.
Maybe he's still seasick.
And we'll get stuck into that. Because there are a few questions I want to ask about your night on the Waverley.
Okay.
Believe me.
If he plays this game, Gordon Dale, he'll need to tell two lies and we decide which is the biggest lie.
He doesn't know what the truth is. So we will see indeed. So we're looking forward to that.
250 quid he won there?
Yeah.
For that story?
For off your story. Oh,
listen, I'm so generous.
Great response on Twitter as well. The Big Blue Bears called you Leo DiCaprio son sinking the vessel there. Leo DiCaprio son.
Titanic.
I went down.
I thought it was some sort of, because usually people tweet in with lookalikes. Sorry, Big Blue Bear. Very slow on the uptake. I've had a long summer. You're right. Sink. I get it. The Titanic. Yeah. Terrible.
Keep them coming. DL.
Matthew Breckenridge says, you just say you could have been a basketball? You've got the red face for it. I'm going to call you Spalding from now to the end of the show. I don't like that. And the best one of the night so far, though, and I can't believe I'm giving credit to our colleague Roger Hanna, because you know you got photoshopped earlier with the
James Bond.
Yeah, was it Casino Royale? What was it again? Roger Hanna's called you Old Finger. So good. Honestly, that's why he's a tabloid man. Because I was thinking of some earlier.
He's
really
quick.
old finger.
Yeah.
So your task, you Photoshop enthusiasts out there, we need some good artwork that we can display for everyone on our new live stream of Mark Wilson, the seaman, sinking.
I don't like that nickname. Sinking. We should change that.
His vessel, anchor in hand.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try and get a picture. I'm sure I've got some photos of me on it with my life jacket on.
I'd love to see that, actually.
I'll look at one. Because I think I was wearing my Helly Hansen jacket, remember the old Bombay Dreams one?
I feel like you've told... That's the thing. I feel like you had told all your stories on here, getting your watch stolen by a magician, the watch given to you by Roy Keane in his testimonial.
He was magic.
You know, various others, getting your Range Rover stolen from outside the house. You know,
everything ends in tragedy. You know, everything's slipping away from it.
Chaotic life is what I've learned.
It's not that funny when you think about it.
No, it's really not.
You're a Jonah, really. That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, we've still not kicked off at Celtic Park, so let's quickly hear from Gabriel just ahead of that one.
Yes, Gordon, Celtic's pre-season comes to a close tonight as people have turned out in their thousands to mark the testimonial of James Forrest. The longest serving player at the club, having joined 20 years ago, aged just 13. He broke into the first team in 2010. First starting against Motherwell in a 4-0 victory. He's made 467 appearances, scored 101 goals, and 13 years later, we are here. With 11 league titles, 6 Scottish Cups, and 5 League Cups under his belt, only 2 players, that's Billy McNeil and Bobby Lennox, have more trophies to their name in green and white than Forrest's 22. He will no doubt go down as a modern-day Celtic great, and at 32 years old, he still hopes he has more to give to the club. This match will also be the first time Brendan Rodgers is back in the dugout at Parkhead since his controversial exit in 2019. He's been backed widely by supporters since his reappointment, but fan reaction inside the stadium will nevertheless be interesting when he walks out in a few minutes' time. Tonight's lineup looks close to a full strength, something similar to what Rodgers may pick against Ross County on Flag Day this Saturday. A few interesting selections. New boys Nemrotsky and Kwana pick from the start. Cameron Carter-Vickers returns from an injury layoff. Benjamin Segrist is preferred to Joe Hart in goal. And let's start there. It is Segrist in as number one. Tomoki Iwata is right back with Cameron Carter-Vickers and Mike Nemrotsky in the centre of defence. Greg Taylor is on the left-hand side. Kwan plays in midfield with captain Callum McGregor and Reo Hatate. James Forrest on his special night starts on the right wing. Kyogo plays through the middle. Dazen Maida is off the left.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see. We'll get the reaction to that tomorrow. You can almost make no apology for it. There was a time where, and I think just everything's moved on, where you wouldn't pay any attention maybe to these types of games, but people have just got a hunger for football, and everyone's over social media, and you're listening to shows like this, and the season's only a couple of days away. So whatever happens tonight, I still think we'll get calls on this tomorrow. Looked good, he didn't, that'll work this season, that won't, I'd like to have seen more of him, and so on.
You have to, because of the close proximity of the Ross County game on Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. This is the last dress rehearsal. People want to see whether Kwan or Nemrotsky are able to start against Ross County, or will Yang come on and prove to be a sensation, or what else could happen? You can't imagine Celtic starting without Matt O'Reilly, but maybe that might happen against Ross County. And I believe, honestly, from day one, it's important that Celtic win at 12:30, because if they give Rangers any form of encouragement, the Celtic supporters will regard that as a disaster, because you don't want to be falling behind when your next game is at Pittodrie, and when the game after that is at Ibrox.
Well, dress rehearsals don't always go to plan. Athletic Bilbao are 1-0 up through Gomez inside the first couple of minutes. Reo Hatate has given the ball away, and Celtic find themselves behind.
Oh, who cares? It's only pre-season.
Anyway, good time for you to get in touch. 0141 951 1025. We're still here until 8 o'clock, so give us a shout and we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's been a quick old show. Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans, Old Finger 0073, call them what you will, all still here. Still time to get your calls in as well. Obviously it is a bit of a funny week this, because people are excited and they're eager, but it sort of peaks and troughs, Mark. You become a bit excited, and then you can sometimes need to wait for the actual return of the action. That's when you really get your teeth into it. Give us all something to moan about on Monday. Referees will be getting it in the neck, and there'll be good results or bad results. This week feels too long almost, doesn't it?
It is, and it's been a long summer. I know you work incredibly hard throughout the year, Gordon, so you would have enjoyed your holidays, but it's been hard work chatting about, you know, transfers who may or may not come in and how teams are going to look. But you get the first glimpse of it is this weekend. People get their weekends back that they rely so heavily upon, going to the football, then afterwards chatting with, you know, their friends about what went on in the game, and then coming on here on a Monday to vent their anger or to you know, gloat about their team's performances. So we're right in the cusp of it. I can't wait till it starts back.
Hard work.
No.
Does this guy realise that some people actually graft for a living?
Jobs, yeah.
Honestly, people across the nation are chucking things at their TV screens now as well as their radio.
Of course, aye.
It's been hard work.
It's been dreadful.
This is not a real job.
Dreadful.
Every time a taxi driver says to me, "What about all those people having a go at you?" I say, "Listen,
some people work for a living.
It's better than working.
Do you know what I mean?"
Yeah.
The privilege you get to sit next to this guy.
Yeah. Listen, I used to be boating about Loch Lomond, so that's my level
that
of hard
is
work.
True. I'm still waiting on photoshopped images of Wilson the seaman to add a bit of life to the story.
Dreadful photos
that he told us earlier on. Ross is in Drumchapel. How's it going, Ross?
Not too bad. Going on yourself?
Yeah, can't complain. What are you thinking ahead of the new season then?
I think the odds going to actually be a big miss in the left hand side, because as far as I'm aware, we've not really replaced him this season, so I think he's going to be a really big miss.
I mean, Celtic have signed attacking options, so I don't know to what level that will be a replacement, but there has been an attempt there to make signings, obviously, Hugh, in that rough department. But Jota was extremely effective for Celtic, that goes without saying, doesn't it?
Well, first and foremost, you have to understand that the club's reasons for letting Jota go, the money was incredible, and you could not deny Jota the chance to get the kind of wages that he'll be on.
Are you trying to tell me if Saudi FM Super Scoreboard offered you 50 times your wages, you would go?
Well, you see, I have to break the bad news to the listening audience tonight that I signed my new contract with Clyde before the programme started.
I saw you getting taken
evening.
Into the office. Yeah. I thought that was you getting the
boot. Imagine a 73-year-old signing a new contract. But anyway, you know, Jota had to go, but, you know, Abada didn't go, for example. Everyone concentrates on the negatives. What about the positives? Abada didn't go and said he wants to stay under Brendan Rodgers. Tilio, when he's over his injury, will come in and people will get a good look at him. Yang, by all accounts, an exciting player. There's plenty to be positive about.
Sure.
And that's the way I think the Celtic fans should look
at it. It's just a compliment though to Jota as well, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah. Listen, if we're talking about on the pitch and what Jota brung, of course it's a major blow for Celtic losing him. Financially, it ticks all the boxes and you couldn't stop it. But what he gave on the pitch in terms of entertainment, goals, assists, you know, all the stuff you need in the final third, what you want your wide man to deliver, he gave over his couple of years at the club. So that's incredibly hard to replace. And of course Celtic have made signings, but it's like any new signing, you don't actually know how they're going to live up to the tag of the replacement of Jota, particularly coming to a club like Celtic. You know, the pressure that's on strikers and wingers when they come to the club is immense, and they have to take that weight on their shoulders also. So very interesting time for guys like Tilio, Yang. Abada has been there and done it, but can he step up? Maeda, of course, was also always a favourite under Postecoglou. Is he going to be the same under Rodgers? So it could be a totally different look in the wide areas for Celtic this year.
I suppose, though, Ross, there was the surprising, I think you would call it that, retirement for Aaron Moy. Other than that, Jota is, up until this point, the only first team player you would have to say that has left. Does that not give you a bit of confidence that there's still a good degree of continuity there?
Yeah, I was surprised that Anmoy retired, actually. Because I think he was one of our strongest midfielders last season, but in terms of squad leaving and having a old squad turnover, that's where you're wanting.
Yeah, I can't really quantify this, Mark, but it feels like there's been lots of change at Celtic this summer because the manager's changed. That is like the biggest change you could get. And then they have signed a number of players, but as I just said to Ross, it's not like there's not been a rebuild in the sense of losing lots of players. It is pretty much the same team. I don't know then, is it just because it's the managerial one and there have been players signed that it just maybe feels like it's more of a turnover?
Well, because Postecoglou was such a huge figure, his style of play stood out, it was successful. And the Celtic fans really just bought into everything he said every time he spoke. You take that out the equation, then it does seem like a huge loss. But when you're right, when you pick the bones out of that, players have signed new contracts, who deserve new contracts, and the squad's been added to with young players and some experienced ones at that as well that should bolster the squad. I think it's the style of play that's maybe got Celtic fans... No, it'll be a bit of trepidation going into the season.
I can't believe that Celtic will not spend more money between now and the window closing. There is so much money in the bank, helped by Jota. But I think fans are looking for... I know that Brendan Rodgers has said, don't look for a record-breaking transfer fee, but there must be other players on his mind before this window closes, because we can speculate on Yang or Kwon or Tilio on Navrotsky. But come Saturday, there'll be no more speculation. There will be a demand. And that goes for the Rangers players as well, who have come in. There will be a demand that they hit the ground running, because from 12:30 on Saturday, it's serious time.
Some have got to make way, though. If Brendan Rodgers is going to make signings, got to make way, because you're right in saying Jota's the only big one that's went at the door. Okay, there's been a couple of loans and a couple of players lowered in the pecking order that's went. But how are you going to fit in these new players to the players that have won, you know, everything over the past couple of years? You know, it's not... these players that Ange Postecoglou had are all young enough that you would think would get better. Never mind... been shifted on. So it's a hard act to follow Ange Postecoglou. It's a fine balance. Brendan Rodgers has to get it right.
Yes, interesting couple of weeks coming up. Other clubs have been bolstering their options ahead of the new season. Motherwell have signed Theo Bear, who was at St Johnstone last season. We do a very quick check when it's strikers, don't we? We see, how many games did they play last season? How many goals did they score? And he was in our division as well. So, you know, it was a level that you can compare. He played 31 times for St Johnstone and only scored one goal, which, you know, clearly is not the type of return he or St Johnstone would have been looking for. It's maybe not the type of return that would immediately enthuse Motherwell fans, but I think you just have to be fairer, don't you? You have to just give
the problem for Motherwell,
give people a chance.
Van Veen was pretty much a one-man team last season. The number of goals that he scored made a huge difference to Motherwell, and the fans are concerned that they might not get that kind of return. They won't get that kind of return from
him. But maybe you don't even have to, Mark. No. Who's to say that Theo Bear, under a new manager in a different set of circumstances, doesn't develop and other players step up to the plate? Of course. Going to be a challenge. Of course it is. But the idea is clearly going to be to maybe spread the load a bit more.
Of course, he's going to be a piece of a jigsaw that will hopefully look a lot better as a team than they did last season, rather than relying on Van Veen. Bear, you know, because he didn't do it for one club doesn't mean he's not going to come in and fit Kettlewell's way of playing. He talked about it being a project. He's got a history of developing young players into something better than what they started out to be, and that'll be the hope for Bear. So they definitely need more players, though, because, you know, the squad looks thin. And when you've lose your talisman like you have in Van Veen, then you do need to spread the load.
And I noticed, you know, Kilmarnock bringing players in. Liam Donnelly was there last season. They've re-signed him, though, after a couple of weeks or months over the summer. I think that takes Derek McInnes, if you include that, up to 11 It's just the type of rebuild that lots of our clubs go through in the summer, isn't it?
Well, isn't it a real demanding return to the new season for Kilmarnock Rangers at Rugby Park? Rangers will be looking to really make a statement about the new signings at the weekend. Derek McInnes has been handed arguably one of the toughest assignments that a manager can get on day one. And, you know, the obvious thing about Kilmarnock, last season, away from home, they were an absolute dead loss, and they have to pick up on that away form.
Returning favourite as well, Stuart Finlay, back in as well, did incredibly well, first time round.
Yeah, I mean, Derek's been on to say that you're talking mince, because Spittle, Casey, Butcher were all good last year. I don't ever stick up for you, I don't really like doing it, to be honest. I think you meant in front of goal, in terms of the goal load. I don't think you meant that no other Motherwell player played well. But,
No, of course not. But I mean, to replace a man who got the number of goals that Kevin Van Veen got last season is a real tall order.
Ian Beale's brother has sent a fairly primitive Photoshop version of you with your sinking boat. But listen, Ian Beale's brother, it's better than I could do.
Well, that's his name.
The effort on what's his name?
What we calling this now? It's not Twitter anymore, is it?
Well,
is it X
it's still
whatever.
Twitter to me. Ian Beale's brother, and he's also sent a picture of Michael Beale.
Right,
see
okay.
What he's done there.
Aye. Clever.
Great.
Anyway. So he sent a picture of me, has he?
Well, sort of. You're like pasted onto the side of a sinking
I don't know,
boat.
But I see that.
Nah, you don't. Anyway, thank you to Hugh Keevans, looking great, and Mark Wilson, looking fine, average.
Thanks.
We are back tomorrow. I think that's 2 out of 2. I don't think we did anything wrong that's going to get us taken off tonight. So we're back tomorrow, and the question is, just what level of moisturiser will Marvin Bartley apply to his biceps, and how tight will his t-shirt be? Will he have a new Queen of the South t-shirt for this season or not? So many questions to be answered, and we'll do that tomorrow. Marvin back alongside Simon Donnelly, looking forward to it. Thank you very much for listening and watching. Those of you who did, it's still all new and shiny, and it's a novelty. It might wear off eventually, but it was a pleasure, and we are back tomorrow at 6 with the guys. As I said, remember, you can catch up with the show on YouTube. It'll still be there. You can watch it back. Thousands of you did last night, which is remarkable. Thank you very much. And the podcast available, as always, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll speak to you at 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll get music from Justin Timberlake and David Guetta with Lindsay Gibson up next.